Okay, welcome to another episode of the Two Harbors Consulting Podcast. We have a very special episode today where I am joined by two wonderful guests. I'm going to introduce them here, and we're going to be talking about some of the work that they've been collaborating on lately related to the CMMC. We have with us Jeff Dalton and Ron Lear. Let me introduce them a little bit before we just jump right into questions. Jeff is the president and CEO of Broadsword and is the chief evangelist of AgileCXO.org. He's a CMMI lead appraiser and the AgileCXO lead assessor. He's also an author of the book that many of you probably have already read, Great Big Agile, an OS for Agile Leaders. He's a principal author of the CMMI Institute's Guide to Scrum and CMMI, Improving Agile Performance in CMMI. So for all of you that still think that Agile and CMMI can't mix, we're not going to get into that here in this podcast, but you should go and read that. And he was the first, third, and fourth chairman of the CMMI Institute Partner Advisory Board, where he led the group through their transitionary period from Software Engineering Institute, the SEI, where he was the vice chairman and later chairman of their Partner Advisory Board. Jeff has a background in technology leadership and has served as director and VP of product development and quality with multiple companies and was a senior manager and chief technology executive at Ernst & Young. And additionally, he is an active jazz bassist who builds experimental aircraft, which, again, I think we can have a whole podcast just on that to dig into that, anybody who builds experimental aircraft. And he lives with his wife of 25 years in Marathon, Florida. Returning, he was our first guest ever on the Two Harbors Consulting Podcast is Ron Lear. And Ron is ISACA's Director of IP Development and the Chief Architect of CMMI Products and Services. As we said before, Ron brings several decades of experience of continual performance improvement, quality, process management, and supporting the development and launch of CMMI products, including the current version of the model V2.0. Has been instrumental in launching the Medical Device Discovery Appraisal Program, also known as MDAP, and cybersecurity assessment products. Ron is also a certified high maturity lead appraiser, certified instructor, and experienced consultant in the CMMI Institute's capability maturity integration model with over 300 appraisals completed to date with multiple global industries, both small and large, from Fortune 50 to Fortune 500 organizations. His work has been in aerospace, automotive, biomedical, defense, finance, healthcare, insurance, IT, pharmaceuticals, telecommunications, systems, and software integrators. I'm not certain what market we've missed there, but his experience includes Agile as well, DevOps, CMMI high maturity based development services and efforts. We also know from our prior interviews, Ron is a very dedicated family man and an avid cyclist, and he's been spending some time on his bike to get some exercise during COVID. So, just both incredible resumes from both of these gentlemen. I'm really honored to have them join us here on the Two Harbors Consulting podcast. Gentlemen, how are you guys doing today?
Fantabulous. Thanks for having me.
I am as well. Thanks for having me as well, George. This should be fun working with the two of you on this podcast. Looking forward to it.
I am as well. So let's just jump into it. There is obviously my paths have crossed with the two of you over the last decade in some regard related to the capability maturity model integration or CMMI. But there's this new thing that has many of the same letters. It is the CMMC. And I want to jump into this a little bit because there are some places where that's something different, and there's some places where that is there's some overlap. So for the listener that has maybe no idea what the CMMC is, and I'm going to push this over to you to start, Jeff. What is the CMMC?
Sure. So let me give you a little background. So as you probably know, and as your listeners might know, defense contractors are currently required to self-attest their adherence to NIST 800-171. And there are actually some assessor-led standards out there also. The DIBCAC DCMA folks have a standard that's being used. They've assessed about 70 contractors this year. And of course, ISO 27001 is an auditor-led event. So the DoD decided a couple of years back that they wanted to have an integrated model. And so they took what they saw as the best from NIST, the best from ISO 27001, the best from DCMA DIVCAC, And yes, they took from CMMI a little bit too. And that one hasn't really been talked about much. You hear the DoD folks talk about the NIST and the ISO and the DCMA stuff all the time. But when I said to them, oh, those practices came right out of CMMI, they seemed surprised. But it's not really shocking because the contractor they hired to create this model was the SCI. And if you look at the model, it has a lot of similarities. It's 5 maturity levels. It's got practices. It looks a little bit like a hybrid between 1.3 and 2.0 in that it doesn't have generic practices, but it does have single practices that address policies, procedures, and processes. I would say that from a process management standpoint, it's probably less, and that the SCI folks would insist that it is. At least that's what they've told me. Less rigorous and less, let's just say, overall providing overall oversight for process management than the CMMI is, but those practices around planning and resourcing and, you know, managing the process still exist in there. So that's the model, and then they needed a body to manage that model and manage the assessor process. So they created the CMMC accreditation body, of which I am a board director, and our role has been to operationalize it all. And so you can imagine all the roles and training and assessment methods and things like that that have had to be developed in the last 7 months to support that. But when it gets rolled out, it is going to be the DoD standard. And as it turns out, more than DoD, GSA is already using it. It will be the standard for cybersecurity, and it'll be delivered and assessed by certified assessors, much like the way CMMI works today.
Great. So generally, what are we talking about in terms of these DoD subcontractors? How many entities are we talking about in that would be needing to fulfill expectations of CMMC? And just ballpark, what's the timeline as to when they would be expected to meet those CMMC expectations?
Yeah, it's really interesting. The volume is something that has never been seen before in our industry. People often ask me on social media, you know, why have you architected it this way? Why have you designed the roles this way? And the answer is volume. The conservative estimate is 300,000 DoD contractors. That's very conservative because, or I'm sorry, I shouldn't say it that way. The understood, conservative is a bad word. The understood, not because of politics, but because of what I meant to say. The commonly understood number is 300,000. The actual number will probably turn out to be much higher. And one of the reasons is that unlike our friends, probably a lot of people listening are CMMI professionals, I would imagine, or at least users, you understand well the concept of the organizational unit and that a single company could have many different instances of a rating. You take a company like Rockwell Collins, probably has many, they definitely have many different divisions, offices, countries of operation. Each one of them has their own networks and their own applications and their own data centers. So if you think about it that way, we probably are looking at quite a bit more than 300,000, and that's an every 3-year activity.
Sure. And Jeff, maybe I'm assuming that certain DoD subcontractors would have a different level of expectation. Obviously, if you're a DoD subcontractor involved in the manufacture of the F-22, that might be different than you being a subcontractor that's just providing sheet metal or screws. Is that correct?
Right. And so there's different levels, just like you would, just like with CMMI. And the folks that you initially mentioned, the folks making the F-35 or F-22, they're going to be subject to a higher level of maturity and higher level of scrutiny than, say, the company that makes sheet metal. Although the company that makes sheet metal is also going to be held to a level of CMMC, but probably a lower level. But I think what you just said kind of illustrates my earlier point a little bit, that you're going to see different levels within the same company. You're going to, you know, right. you take like an SAIC that does a lot of really cool intelligence work. Well, they're going to be subject to, that group is going to be subject to you know, probably a level 4 or 5 requirement. I'm just speculating. But the folks that do, you know, website development probably won't be subject to that. Well, that means two different assessments, right? And SAIC, as an example, they have dozens, if not hundreds, of divisions that could potentially be subject to one or more assessments across the enterprise. So you're probably not going to have hundreds of assessments, but you're going to have multiples in a scenario like that.
So does the CMMC have applicability for anyone outside the DoD subcontractor space? Or, and I guess another way of asking that is, if I'm in medical device or if I'm in software development and I'm not a DoD subcontractor, why should I care about CMMC?
Sure. So I don't know if your listeners are Battlestar Galactica fans or not. I'm a huge fan of the reimagined series, which is much darker and more science fiction-y. And one of the mantras in the show is, this has all happened before and this will all happen again. I'm struck with the CMMC rollout, how many of the issues they're dealing with happened in 2001 through 2005 with the CMMI. And in that case, you know, the CMMI was created by the DoD and the SCI and was intended initially for DoD contractors. And then other government agencies started to say, hey, this is a cool thing. Maybe we should use this too. And then the GM, Fords, Chryslers, and, you know, Walmarts and so forth and so on of the world came along and said, oh, look at this cool, you know, engineering model over here. We should make our subs do all of this, right? So, that, I mean, that's a really high-level thumbnail of what happened. But if you look at, you know, the CMMC, we're already seeing today the GSA announced for their STARS 3 contract that they're looking for vendors to be providing CMMC, demonstrate CMMC capabilities. And NASA announced recently that they were looking at that. So unofficially, I would say that you should care about it because it's highly likely that it's coming your way. And I've been talking to a lot of our state clients, you know, state IT clients, and they're saying, oh yeah, we're getting ready for this because we know it's coming to us. So I think it's coming to everybody.
Well, Ron, I really want to try to find a way to make a reference to Richard Hatch here as he appeared in both series, but I can't figure one out. But so I'll just try to drag Ron into the conversation here, which is, Ron's like Richard Hatch. Okay. Maybe we can go with that analogy. How does there is obviously this, if I look at the CMMC based upon what you've told me and I've looked at it as a person that is CMMI familiar, when I look at it, it looks organized in a very similar fashion. And you talked a little bit about the relationship there, Jeff, but is there any relationship between the CMMC and, you know, maybe even for the organization that's saying, look, I don't necessarily worry about CMMC right now, even though you said, yeah, it's coming. Are there concepts or are there practice areas or are there things in 2.0 that help me prepare for CMMC or maybe better make that connection between the two models? And I'm going to pitch that one over to you, Ron.
Sure. So let me start off with to just sort of, I'll say, augment some of the stuff that Jeff had already talked about, in that the CMMC as a model did have a basis in similar architectural components as CMMI. It looks like they did a little borrowing from both 1.3 and 2.0. So you have the whole maturity level construct. It is different. What equates a maturity level 2 in CMMC? For example, level 1 in CMMC, it's only a handful of practices. Level 2 is sort of seen as a transitional level. And then level 3, with its 130 some practices, basically has all the content needed to meet the NIST 800-171 that Jeff had mentioned, and then some of the other add-ons that they put into the model. But there are also some domains in CMMC that are directly correlated over to CMMI. So for example, Jeff mentioned that you have to do planning, that you have to have a policy in place, that you actually have to write processes, recorded documented process descriptions that explain how the controls that that particular domain has and how you're putting them in place. So for example, access control is one of those domains in CMMC. And there's a handful of practices there at level 1, 2, and 3 that talk about what you need to do for access control activities. We have some very clear guidance in CMMI on how you go about writing a good process, how you go about writing a good plan, a policy that is, you know, not too burdensome, but really kind of covers and sets expectations for what people want to do. So that's one of the key elements right there. From a CMMI, if we look at it the other way around, there are other domains. Configuration management is one. Risk management is talked about. Situational awareness and training. We have our organizational training practice area in CMMI. So I think one of the challenges that CMMC has, and several of us have been working with the DoD and the AB members, and I'm sure Jeff's been part of some of these discussions as well, is around CMMC has this list of controls and practices, but the model is relatively silent on how do I go about doing a good plan? How do I go about putting in a good process? How do I go about making sure that my training or my policies are actually effective? That's where the CMMI can really help give people a leg up, because CMMI covers all that very well with its practices. So rather than seeing them as conflicting, the nice thing is that they actually kind of complement each other fairly well. CMMC is more prescriptive than CMMI, but CMMI gives an organization that roadmap to adoption or transition. So by adoption, I mean, if they've never tackled or looked at the CMMC, but they know they're going to need to, it gives the CMMI can help give them a starting place with basically go in and conduct a gap analysis, learn about the model, create action plans to understand how you're going to address those gaps from the action, from the gap analysis and so forth. So all that kind of activity is covered in CMMI. The last thing I would point out is we are in the process of finishing up work on our next release, which includes security and safety content. In that content in the CMMI version 2.0, we will have context-specific anchors, tables, and references to the CMMC. We are also in the process of reviewing and having a complete mapping between CMMI and CMMC. So back to what I was talking about transitionally, all those organizations that Jeff has been referring to, the Lockheeds, the SAICs, the Rockwell Collins, and so forth, many of those, we know at least 100 of them, 21 of them have 100 sites around the globe right now that already have CMMI maturity level ratings in place, which means they have CMMI-based processes in place for their engineering services and supplier management. So what we're trying to do with what we're doing with the security and safety content in this new release is give them that leg up, and I'll say the breadcrumbs, whether you want to call it breadcrumbs or you want to call it the Rosetta Stone, basically for translating how does CMMI actually help you more rapidly address and come up to speed on CMMC. So that's coming soon to a theater near you.
Yeah, you know, I think you're totally right on, Ron, that the CMMI really brings to the table some things that are unclear in the CMMC. And I'm actually quite concerned about it. I've talked to a lot of folks in the DIB and the defense contractor community, and it's really not clear to them what institutionalization means. And, you know, if you look into the CMC model, it says, sure, have a plan that resources and manage that and manage the process. And it's very high level. And people are like, oh, I just need a document. I said, well, not really. You know, there's, you know, the CMMC doesn't have the PADS and the PMC and all that kind of stuff, PCM, sorry. And but it does have practices for some of the things that are in there. And I'm actually a little concerned that we're going to see some misunderstanding in the market that leads to unsuccessful attempts at maturity levels by folks that actually, you know, probably do security quite well, but really don't understand the process management part of it. And so I think CMMI users will really have a leg up on this because they understand better than anybody what it takes to stand up an SCPG and what it takes to manage process and do all those kind of things. And I've been referring people to the CMMI and saying, if you want, and if you want to know how to really do this, look at these practices. So I'm a little worried about it, but I think you're right on that. The stuff you guys are doing is really going to help it. And it's just a question of, we need to get the word out that you all have a solution to this particular problem.
Yep, agreed.
So I had penned a question here as to if one is a CMMI lead appraiser, how do they get involved in CMMC? But this question may be also applicable for the organization, those organizations that you were talking about, Ron, that are already CMMI familiar, be it 1.3, and they're, because of the sunset, they're moving towards getting their 1.3 maturity rating here before the sunset in September 30th, or they've already started their transition to 2.0. It may also be a question for those organizations, because it sounds like there's a couple things you could do. You could start really diving into understanding the CMMC and leveraging what you have within CMMI to bolster that. Or it may also be a path where you're starting to lean more on the safety and security practices. So do you have an idea as to what you would be recommending to an organization or to a CMMI appraiser to become ready for this CMMC rollout? Is that through getting familiar with CMMC? Is that with jumping on board with safety and security? Is it all of the above?
Well, so it's a great question, George, and what I would say from the CMMI perspective. So for those of you who are familiar with the CMMI, and even those who aren't, let me just go back real quick in history and recap. So, you know, Jeff mentioned CMMC. CMMC is a model, right? And it's also an assessment approach. So if you think about it from a, quote, ecosystem, the similarities between the two are very similar. You're going to have a cadre or a pool of lead appraisers. You're going to have a pool of companies that have lead appraisers that are going to do these certified assessments. You're going to have the assessments themselves. You're going to have people using and adopting the model. And to Jeff's point, there's not a lot of language in the model and in the guidance that the DoD has provided around how do I go about adopting this. But we happen to have a little tool in our kit that's part of the overall 2.0 product suite, and that is our adoption and transition guidance. So we use that. It's essentially a six-step approach. Think of it as very similar to Deming's Plan, Do, Check, Act, with two extra steps in there. And the first step is learn about it. Learn about the CMMC, learn about what you want to do. The second step would be set objectives for what you want to do. So I'm a Raytheon or a SAIC or one of the other integrators that we've been mentioning. I need to target maturity level 3 for this site. Okay, there's my objective. Now what do I do? Well, you go in and you conduct a benchmark or a gap analysis and say, where am I, to get a baseline of where you compare against the CMMC. Then you go through and start creating an action plan based on those. And then you come back and do a reassessment and basically prepare yourself for your final certification assessment. We have all those steps laid out, all the guidance that goes along with it. So part of what we are going to do with the security and safety release is going to be, I'm going to call it a little primer or maybe CMMC for newbies or something, but basically an adoption guidance to say, here's how you can leverage CMMI and adopt CMMC successfully. So that's part and parcel of what we're doing in the release. And what it's really providing is the infrastructure pieces that are already in place for CMMI around the model, the assessment method, the training certifications, the platforms that are being used, and it bundles it all up into how do I go about tackling this thing. So I think that's kind of the thing that I think could help people with a clear leg up. And it also gives them the ability to know where do they fit into the ecosystem, whether they're an organization seeking certification, like one of those companies we mentioned, or if they're someone who is like already a CMMI lead appraiser and they want to get involved doing CMMC assessments, there's a similar pathway for that.
Yeah, I really think that's right on. And I really think there's so many great opportunities for CMMI lead appraisers and instructors, but also companies that have gone through the process of earning their level two or level three rating with CMMI, because they've learned the lessons, hopefully, at least most of them, or hopefully most of them, I guess, have learned the lesson that it's not a paper exercise, that it's about, you know, taking a methodical approach to changing how your organization performs. And a lot of the folks that are going to be subject to CMMC for the first time and that haven't had that experience are going to struggle just as much as the companies that the first time through CMMI struggled. And so someone who's been through the gauntlet, so to speak, of how to make process change real and how to really focus on it are going to be able to do that out of the gate. You know, their SEPG or their process team's going to sit down and say, okay, we got some new requirements here. Here's the list of 181 things. They'll say, okay, let's set business value for all of these. Let's group them together in common processes. You know, they're going to go through a knowing and experienced exercise to bring these practices into their ecosystem, where a company like, a third tier supplier that provides sheet metal screws for Lockheed Martin is going to say, what the heck, you know, how do we do this? But we also have the professional side. So like Ron said, and Ron's been a big help to me and to my committee and to the working groups to helping us define this. There's a lot of alignment between how to become a CMMC assessor or one of the other, there's five or six different roles. Assessor is only one of them. How do you get through that process? What's the best way to do it? How do you get credit for prior experience or prerequisites? And the folks that are currently CMMI lead appraisers or CMMI professionals, for that matter, or instructors, are going to find themselves in a very familiar ecosystem.
Yeah. So I think maybe just, you know, to even put a finer point on it, because I can hear that community, right? The CMMI professionals, the instructors, the lead appraisers, asking the question, okay, great. So safety and security is rolled out. There's assumedly some sort of certification path to become certified with those areas of the model. Is it pretty well understood as to, and this is probably the word that I know that Ron, when we spoke last time, there was a big asterisk next to it that it was being discussed, but there was nothing committed. Is there any sort of reciprocity that's considered there at this point? Or if I'm that CMMI professional, do I basically have to be considerate of my CMMI world credentials and then separately my CMMC credentials, or do they go hand in hand?
Right. So on the certified assessor side, there's no direct reciprocity, but it is one of the prerequisites to get into the program. So we are looking for people that have model-based assessment or appraisal experience. There's not a heck of a lot of people in the world that have that. I mean, there's a few things in the DoD. There's DO-178B. There's ISO. There's CMMI. But we're talking somewhere in the neighborhood of 2,500 to 3,000 assessors here. So it isn't like we're going to run out of people pretty quickly. Right. Even if all, you know, the 300 or so CM, I don't know how many are in North America, but Ron would know this number. But, you know, the 200 or 300 there in North America, if every one of them signs up and every ISO 27001 auditor signs up and every DCMA DCAC person goes off and starts their own company, I doubt that'll happen. But if they were to, we still would only have, you know, 700 or 800 people. So what we're doing is we're graduating an early class. We're calling it the provisional assessor. It's a temporary role, and being an appraiser of model-based, systems or processes like CMMI is one of the prerequisites for that, along with some of the others. So it isn't straight reciprocity exactly, but that's going to be just one class and an exam. So one 3-day class and an exam. And we're going to be picking we don't have a final number on this, but you know, less than 100 anyway, initial provisional assessment to get assessments out there. And so the CMMI lead appraisers, I'm assuming will have consideration because of their great experience doing the exact same kind of work.
Let me flip the coin here then. So, and I recognize that I'm asking the pain in the butt, check the box sort of questions, but these are the kind of questions I think that we're going to be dealing with assessors, appraisers, and organizations at some point. It's part of the plumbing. If an organization in a couple of years is been assessed at CMMC maturity level 3, has there been any thought to the reciprocity as to what that would mean on the CMMI side? Like, would they be, because they've demonstrated those capabilities, if that's a concept in CMMC, would they then be also level 3 potentially in the security space, or is that still something that's being mapped out as well?
It's still being mapped out. There's a lot of strong opinions on all sides.
What?
As you can imagine, the companies who have gone through, DCMI DCAC or ISO 17021 audits are basically saying, I want direct reciprocity. And I understand that position. It's, they invested time and money in it. A competing or a question I have about that, I guess, not that I disagree with them, is so much as to say, well, if you just recently passed a DCAC CMMC assess or DCMA DCAC, which is basically a NIST 800-171 assessment, then this will be a no-brainer for you because it's all the same practices. So, this should take a day to go through everything because there's no discovery and it's all obvious. Now, you and I as appraisers both know that may not happen, right? That just because you passed an assessment at some point in time by a completely different assessment body using a completely different model doesn't necessarily mean that you're actually performing those practices in a way that the CMMC is looking for it. So there's all kinds of different ideas being floating around. One of them is to reduce the evidence requirement for the reciprocal practices. That's something I think is a good idea. Some people are talking about a waiver potentially for people that had an assessment in the last n years or months or weeks. But it's definitely still a topic of open conversation, and we don't control that one.
So, obviously, this has been a very much a Jeff. Thanks for just being so transparent on all that. And I think it's great that you're saying, hey, it's not yet decided. And obviously, the accreditation board and the other involved stakeholders are, and the CMMI Institute and ISOC are involved in that. Is there a In your mind, is there a general timeline when those things would be decided and when organizations would, and you may have alluded to this before because I think I asked part of it before, but when organizations would have to start making some of those decisions as to CMMC credentialing?
Yeah. So right now in our assessment methods framework, which I want to make sure Ron gets appropriate credit for me for being totally having my back on this and totally being my trusted advisor in every way and team member. And really, Ron, I mean that. You've been amazing. It has a big TBD in that section.
Right.
Not only because, we have ideas of how we want to do it. Obviously, we've already mapped it all out. But it's a very politically charged topic. So we haven't released anything because we don't want to wade into the politics of it. And the DoD needs to make that decision and they own that. But we are having our first provisional assessor class August 10th. And that's the date we committed to. Now that means if you work that backwards, we have to pick the provisional assessors in the next week or so. And there's a lot of politics around that, as you might imagine, a lot of different voices and a lot of people that have strong opinions. That means that a decision on reciprocity is going to have to be made by August 10th, because the terms of our contract say that we will train assessors on the reciprocity policy and processes. And that's August 10th. So I'm going to guess it's going to happen right before August 10th. Maybe, I don't know, maybe 7 a.m. on August 10th. I'm not sure. But in my view, it needs to happen by then if we're going to conduct these classes.
Yeah, and to add to that, and A, thanks for the kudos, Jeff. It's been a pleasure working with you on this effort. So this is fun stuff for me. I do this kind of thing because I like having a positive impact on the world. So this is just another avenue for that. But I think from your discussion around the reciprocity aspects, the other thing we know is differences between not only models, but differences in methods, objective evidence, and so forth, all will have to be factored into that reciprocity discussion, including proof that it can actually work. So if you think about what Jeff was saying, let's just do a hypothetical and say, okay, let's dial forward and say that the CMMI 2.0 has got the security and safety content release out there. We've got clear mappings to CMMC, and someone wants to come along and say, all right, I want to do my CMMI effort and I want to do CMMC and I want to do them together. So here's how I'm going to go about doing that. But they need to be verified. For example, in the current assessment method for CMMC, we've identified three different types of objective evidence, whereas the CMMI basically recognizes two primaries. The third one is alluded to and covered. And that is observations, direct real-time observations of tests and demonstrations. So like if you're doing pen testing, penetration testing on your organization, the assessment team is going to need to watch it and see if, you know, the test fails or passes and so forth. That's not necessarily the same requirement in a CMMI, although you can do demos, observations, and so forth. But, you know, having a discussion around, well, what if they have the document in place and they've got a process, but then the test fails? Well, in the current weighting that we have in the assessment method is if the test fails, the practice fails. So those are things that we got to work out the details around the whole reciprocity. And, you know, we've had this discussion, Jeff can probably go on way longer than I can on it, but around, you know, is CMMC going to be another check-the-box model that the DoD has put out there to basically, I'll say, wave a hand to say, we're trying to protect the country with cybersecurity, et cetera, and this is the approach we're taking to do it. And then there's some discussions that we've heard. There's a lot of people, a lot of naysayers, as you might see. Also, what you do is start Googling CMMC, and you'll get all the different, very strong opinions on it. But, you know, one of the comments that we've heard from people is like, well, the DoD is just doing this to basically protect themselves, so that they don't have a liability for this. That's not the intention. I can tell you, having heard Katie Arrington and her team speak multiple times on this publicly and in behind some of the closed doors sessions, and I'm sure Jeff's seen even more than I have on this, but they generally want to actually have an impact on cybersecurity to make the defense industrial base more secure. That is the ultimate goal of this program. And as you guys alluded to, you've got HHS, you've got Homeland Security, IRS, NASA. NASA's got another 750,000 contractor base to add to that 300 that Jeff talked about. So you've got all these agencies that are keeping an eye on this, wanting to know how it's going to work and so forth. And we have to be able to prove to them it's not just another checkbox activity. It's actually real, and it can actually help them improve their cybersecurity posture and their contracts with the federal government. And from there, to Jeff's point, I can tell you from having lived through it before with the CMMI, software CMM before that, what's going to happen is, you can call me Nostradamus on this one, but what I predict is going to happen is you're going to have all these contractors who adopt it. It's probably hasn't missed anybody's attention. There is someone from Microsoft on the AB as well. And you're going to start seeing commercial organizations picking it up and taking it and running with it. If you go back in history and see what happened with software CMM and CMMI, there was about a 3-year period once the model was released. And then after that 3-year period, you had government contractors and so forth be the first adopters. And then the entire market flipped and it became heavily commercial after that. So I would anticipate we're going to see something similar happen once CMMC is really out there and working. But again, to our point on reciprocity, we're going to have to be able to demonstrate to the DoD that these reciprocity approaches actually really work. And I think that's kind of that's the key litmus test right there.
Yeah, I agree. And I agree with everything you said, Ron. And a lot of times people are asking me, you know, why we chose to do things the way we did in the method or the framework. And it was exactly because Ron just said, we don't want this to be a box checking exercise. We want it to be something different. And we had a big working group working on this. I mean, I guess there's rules about them advertising, but, you know, I think we had about 25 people working together on coming up with this. And there was a large number, I think 6 or 7 of that 25 were CMMI lead appraisers. And, you know, Ron being one of them, Kevin Schaff was involved, Michael West, Pete Barletto, Tara Lemieux, Mary Signet, and a few others were big contributors to this, as well as we had FedRAMP assessors on the team. We had ISO auditors, 2701 auditors. So it was really a cool meeting of the minds of all these different methods and frameworks, and everybody saying, we don't want another of whatever this thing we're working on is. We don't want this again. We want to, and I think to be fair to Ron, you know, 2.0 of the CMMI has really helped pull it as valiantly as they can in the other direction. And I think that's a work in progress, but, you know, we all said we don't want it to be a box checking exercise, and reciprocity is a big part of that discussion. So it's been a great group, and they've done great work, and we're going to roll it out for the first time on August 10th. So exciting times.
This is great. That is very exciting on multiple fronts. I was definitely thinking that when you mentioned that the certification window for CMMC is going to be on the 3-year cadence. Maybe Jeff, if you can speak to a little bit about what's built into the CMMC model, because cyber threats seem to move at such a rapid pace, right? We hear about some sort of cyber concern at least monthly, if not more frequently than that. And where you are today, if you got your CMMC level 3, if you could acquire that today, hypothetically, what that means in terms of your cyber posture and your cyber defense, that doesn't really necessarily exactly set you up for, maybe it does. I guess what I'm asking is, what's built into the model that assures that you're prepared for cyber threats in the 2 years or the 3 years? Can you talk a little bit about that from the CMMC perspective?
Yeah, again, there's some things that aren't finalized and we're still discussing, but one of the things that looks likely is periodic spot audits or spot assessments, choosing a certain number. We're going to have 300,000 DIB companies in this mix, at least initially, so we're not going to be doing this with all 300,000. We're talking about doing initial spot audits or spot assessments over, you know, randomly selected, and having a staff to do that. We will have a staff of certified assessors at the AB to deal with that, as well as to deal with adjudication and dispute resolution. And we're also, there's discussion about monitoring tools to monitor the DIB companies to see, you know, to monitor them for potential threats. So there's a number of different things going on to try to change the model from the existing ISO CMMI DCMA model of every 3 years to having more regular contact with the OSC. We're also switching the QA approach to be more of an integrated QC/QA approach, where our quality organization will be working closely with the C3PAOs to establish initial planning and establish scoping and approach and sampling, and making sure upfront that this is all occurring in a way that makes sense. And then, of course, we'll be doing QA on the back end to make sure that everything was done correctly. So we're taking a number of steps. Again, the size and scale are the big challenges. And we haven't even done one assessment yet, so we haven't worked through that problem.
Great. Well, I have taken up a great amount of your time, and I think you have, both of you gentlemen have been incredibly transparent. This is obviously very much a work in progress, and I appreciate your willingness to be so transparent about those works that are in progress, the relationship between CMMC and CMMI. Anything that you would like to close out on, anything that I forgot that you'd like the listeners to hear about CMMC and where it's at, or CMMI and where it's at, and at this time?
Well, I encourage everybody to ask questions. So if you're on LinkedIn or Twitter, I post pretty regularly about CMMC issues, either describing roles or describing decisions that are being made or policies that have been made. And I've been getting a fairly robust response from people. And I just think keep asking those questions, because I want to be transparent about what's real and what isn't. Just like any other, you know, new model. I remember when CMMI came out, it was pretty much the same thing. It was a lot of emotion, a lot of people worried, a lot of people, you know, you hear language a lot on LinkedIn where people say, you're picking winners and losers for who can win contracts. And it's like, no, that's not what we're doing. Or, you know, another one I hear a lot is, you're trying to corner the consulting market with this certified practitioner thing. And no, we're not trying to do that. Here's why we're doing that. And so, you know, just ask questions and be open and transparent, and I'll respond, and other people on the board will respond. And, you know, let's just have an open dialogue.
And I would add to that, similarly, I'm on a lot of the LinkedIn chats and Twitter, et cetera, but there's also my blog on the CMMI website that I'll be bringing stuff up around what ISACA is trying to do around security, safety, and CMMC. So I'm with Jeff on that in terms of open dialogue and getting feedback on, did you guys think about this? What about this? Because as we've been going through this process, that kind of real-time feedback from people about, well, wait, did you consider this? It's been really helpful, because we can put it into the method, et cetera, in real time, and then test it out on these initial, you know, we can let the AB, whoever they end up picking for this provisional assessment period, have those folks help us test this out to make sure it's actually going to really work and be viable. And go back to that comment where we said, this is not a box checking exercise. This is real outcome based approach we're trying to take here.
Excellent. And I will add in there, Jeff, your recent LinkedIn and Twitter posts regarding the different roles and the different entities a part of CMMC have been very educational. Certainly, it's certainly you can go and you can read the stuff off the CMMCAB website, but the snippets that you've been putting out there have been really nice little nuggets to digest over every couple of days in regards to what's a C3PAO. A registered practitioner, a certified assessor, all of it. So that's been really helpful. And I would strongly suggest that folks that are interested in this, because just like any topic, you know, be it CMMI or CMMC or any particular practice area, you know, this is like an ogre or like an onion. There's a lot of layers to peel back, and I'm sure the three of us could nerd out on this stuff for many more hours. So sure. I appreciate you guys nerding out with me here for a short bit. Again, we'll have the contact information. I'll actually put in the show notes as well. I'll put links to Jeff's Twitter and LinkedIn profile. We'll get a pointer over to Ron's blog as well as the CMMC and the CMMI websites. But if you have any questions, please feel free to shoot them over to me. You can hit me at george.zach@2hc.com, or you can drop one over to info@2hc.com. Gentlemen, again, thank you so much for spending some time with us. I really appreciate you again being very transparent as to where this is all at. And I hope we can have you on a future episode as this moves forward and things get a little bit more established and solidified. Thanks.
Thank you, George.
Thanks, George.